Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just want to cozy it up. Don't need to make it. Two putts.
J.J. Spahn closes the deal with a birdie at the last.
J.J. Spahn, great putt, great moment there at the U.S. Open. And then awkward as Hovland took forever to finish out.
Okay, very quickly. I said to my dad watching that yesterday, shouldn't Hovland finish out?
Yeah. Hovland should have finished out, especially because he was out of it because he needed to hole his previous putt.
But what he said, and what I'm sure 1,000 other people would have said, is, well, he's not going to make this one.
Even so.
And I'm like, well, if he does,
if he gets it,
it's going to be weird, isn't it?
If he gets it to 2 inches and doesn't make it, then what? He's going to make a mark?
Yeah.
Or he's going to tap in for the win? Brian Koziel joining us on the Western Hotline. We'll talk JJ and JJ, Spahn and Peterka in a moment. The latest reporting on JJ Peterka. Brian, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Monday.
Why didn't Hovland finish out?
usually the champion is the one that you want to finish. The only thing I can think of is maybe he didn't even know that, you know, the last group's shots are meaningless. Because remember, Burns' group still had to come in and play.
So that's right. Right.
Like, well,
do you know who didn't know?
Not,
who didn't know what
the end of it here kind of thing? You know,
Spahn said he didn't know what he needed. He thought, he was pretty sure he could two-putt to win, but he didn't totally know. He was not checking up on the leaderboard nonstop and was trying to, I guess he's trying to stay in the moment there because he did not know what that was for. He knew it was a great putt, and he probably thought that might be it, but he did not know, like, definitively.
Which is surprising because, I mean, you would think, wouldn't you want to know if I need to make this?
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he said, all right, I kind of know where I was, but, I mean, if you, I don't know, you know, are you putting it differently if you know you need to make 3 versus 4? I think maybe in your head you're thinking, okay, I just have to make sure I don't 3-putt this kind of mentality. You could argue, well, you're trying to make it either way. I don't know. But the Hovland thing was weird. You're right. I mean, all that celebration and all of a sudden, oh, we got to have him finish out. And but the group behind still had to go, and it was, you know, obviously we knew it was over at that point, but the fact that Burns and Scott still had to come through, it was just a whole weird day. I mean, for how Spahn started out with all those fives, all those bogeys, shoots a 40 on the front. I mean, there's just no way we're thinking, okay, this is going to be the guy that comes back to win. But I guess in some sense, we could have thought anybody in that area was alive because all day we're sitting here watching, you know, Scottie Scheffler miss putt after putt after putt, and Rahm is sitting in the clubhouse super early at +4, and we're wondering, like, okay, you know, is +4 maybe with conditions deteriorating? How could this play out? Could 4 end up being a factor? And then as Scheffler continues to play great golf up until he puts a putter in his hand, he could have very easily been in the mix at some point. Now, for him to get to -1, I think in the end, now that the day is over, it would have been a tall task for him. But as we were seeing everybody, you know, be over par, and Spahn obviously was +1 playing the last hole, had Scheffler made anything, it would have been a very interesting additional storyline along the way.
Yeah. He also can't be very upset with Hovland because Hovland also gave him the read for that putt like 1 second before, which definitely probably helped. That putt, though, by Spahn, Brian, like, isn't that kind of the story of why he was, as everybody is falling apart when they restart, or at least a lot of guys are bogeying. Burns is having a tough time, and Hatton is like, I can't believe Hatton didn't throw a club at some point. How is it? What is it about Spawn's game at the end there that you were looking at and going, this is how he's not the guy that's the one guy that's falling apart?
Yeah, his mentality I was really, really impressed with. I mean, even what he had said coming off of the Players' Championship disappointment when he lost the playoff to McIlroy earlier in the year, he seems to be mentally very able now to handle the moment. He said for a long time in his pro career he couldn't handle the moment and he didn't know how to do it, but he said that, you know, he's really taken a different mentality about it, and now, you know, about, I guess he says, you know, staying in the moment. Well, it's working. For his team, he said during the delay that they told him, like, look, you're still alive. He said a bit of advice that he had gotten during the delay, somebody telling him a story about Tiger Woods that, you know, he would still be grinding to see if he could come back here, kind of kept him in the moment. He said he even changed clothes just to, obviously he was wet, but as a, hey, this is a reset. This is a new start for me, a new tournament kind of thing. And boy, did he come out and play great, shoot a 32 on the back nine. But we saw at the Players' Championship what a good putter he was. And, man, on display here, I was super impressed with Burns' putting the entire tournament. I really did. He got a rough break, I thought, not getting relief from the water. Burns did on the hole that he ended up double bogeying and kind of losing the lead and losing control of the event. But Spawn down the stretch, some of the putts that he was making, really, really impressive. These guys, their ability to putt, not only under the pressure but under conditions, the fact that these conditions changed by the second with the weather, and then they're able to adjust and handle it under these conditions, under the speed, under the changing speed, and the fact these greens are massive at Oakmont, and they're able to handle these lengths of putts. I'm super impressed just by what everybody did here this weekend as a whole.
I saw a graphic that, you know, to drive home the size of the greens, that number one at Oakmont could fit like seven of the first hole, the first seven greens at Pebble Beach on it, just on the first green. So, you know, you
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I think you and I, you guys and I were talking about this on Thursday morning of like, oh, what's the course about? And I'm like, yeah, they expanded a lot of the greens. Again, you'd think that would make it easier, but they said, hey, we can have some unique pin locations now because we have such a big surface area. And it obviously made for some really good dramatic golf. And some of the shots that you guys that we all saw from guys having to chip either near the green or around the bunker to these pins and these interesting pin locations, it was really entertaining. I was impressed with how the course played out. You know, obviously the rain, there was a little bit during the early portion of coming back during the rain. I'm like, all right, this is awful. Maybe they're going to have to call this. Obviously, we don't want to have a Monday finish, but luckily the rain subsided. And for the most part, other than the one ruling with Burns that I didn't agree with at all, I thought for the most part, you know, it finished with weather not too much becoming an overriding factor in the result.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brian Koziel on the Wester Hotline on the U.S. Open. We'll get to J.J. Peterka in just a moment. So J.J. Spawn wins. And, you know, one other little storyline that came out of this, Brian, was the Tiger Woods coverage during the weather delay. And I wonder, I don't know, if anybody learned anything from that where it's raining and we're just going to throw on Tiger Woods. And did you stick with it? Did you stay and just watch prime Tiger like so many others did?
I did, because my son and I were watching it, and he's 15, so he really did not watch Tiger. I mean, he watched a little of the 2019 Masters, but he did not watch Tiger like what was on display that we watched during the rain delay. And I was literally trying to tell you, I was like, Jack, like, this is what happened. He literally did this every week for like 15.
Oh, we lost Brian right in the moment. His phone quit out on him. Yeah, he did this all the time. That's a great example. Like, you're telling your son, telling your daughter, like, oh, yeah. Call him over
every week.
Look at this guy. See, this is Tiger Woods. I've tried to do that with, I mean, my kids are four.
Yeah.
And I've done that a little bit, too. Whenever There were Tiger Woods highlights. I would pop up on YouTube and try to show them, like, this guy, look at this guy. He was unbelievable. He was the best I've ever seen play this sport. And we got a dose of that yesterday. 803-0550. We'll get Brian back on the line and get a quick thought from him on J.J. Paterka as we get rolling. Brian, if you want to finish that thought, go for it. Otherwise, we can move on to some Paterka stuff.
I don't know how long I got into there with Woods there, but I was watching with my son and just saying, like, this is what he did for so long. I was like, you know how we're watching, you know, he's into golf, so we've watched, you know, we're watching Scheffler, and I'm like, look at what Scheffler is doing right now. Tiger did that even more. And he did it for like 15 years straight, and he did it with more flair and more excitement and more drama, and it was really, really, you know, it made me appreciate him even more. I saw your Twitter question about, you know, like, which athletes would you want to see again? You know, obviously that one would come to mind right away for sure. I never got to see, like, Muhammad Ali. I feel like I'd want to see him in, like, a prime moment, because what Tiger did culturally for golf, Ali really did for the world in some sense. I never really got to see him have like a live fight. I feel like I would probably steer toward him. I did get to see Jordan a little, you know, well, for the most part, I got to see a lot of Jordan, the back end of Gretzky's career. But I feel like I would love to, if I could go back in time and like pick a sporting event, maybe for an individual, I never got to see Ali like with a live fight. I think maybe I'd have to think about picking him.
803-0550, Brian Koziel. All right, Brian, on J.J. Paterka and the reporting, it's a slow drip. I feel like you've got some people that will say, oh, it's just an agent, it's not real. I think it's all very real that Paterka wants out, wants to move, sees an opportunity here to take a little control of his career and ask the Sabres for a trade or sign an offer sheet. Do you ultimately think he gets moved?
I would think Kevin Adams doesn't want to move him, but now it maybe gives him the green light to start to be more aggressive in including him in this big deal or this big moves that we keep hearing rumors about that Kevin Adams kind of wants to make or that the Sabres are interested in making. Maybe it makes it a little easier to include him. Ultimately, it would be to the Sabres' benefit for this maybe not to get public. I think, you know, that could help in negotiations that it's tougher to move. You'd want it to be tougher to move Paterka to increase his value. But, you know, for as much as fans reacted last year to, oh, look, he looks unhappy even when he scores, I guess it's not surprising that any player would say this. The Sabres are not good in terms of what they've been doing over the course of his career. And for a player to say, I'd like to move on, I guess it shouldn't be too surprising. He has value. He's young. He's got a ton of talent. He plays the power play. He had almost 30 goals last year. You know, I mean, my expectation would be if he played again on the Sabres that we'd think he could score 30 next year. So I think he's got value. So here's an opportunity for Kevin Adams that he feels like, all right, if this is not going to work out long term and we don't have Paterka all on board, Adams has continually said throughout his tenure here, he wants guys that want to be here. If he's getting that sense from Paterka that he doesn't want to be here, well, here's an opportunity to maybe flip the script. In general, overall, for as much as I think I would criticize Adams for maybe not doing the right thing at the right time to help out the team when they've been struggling, especially last year during that 13-game losing streak, I think I would say overall I've been fairly happy with the trades that he's made. So here's a chance to could throw out a big name with maybe a bright future and a lot of potential to see if he can turn it around and maybe bring in another player that can help them maybe start to look a little bit more like what we see with the Florida Panthers, who have been so tough to play against here throughout this playoff.
Maybe Paterka in a Jason Robertson package. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing about Paterka, you know, we can talk about if we're upset about the idea the Sabres might trade him. How many better players than Paterka will be traded this offseason? The list is not long.
You wouldn't expect it to be many.
Not very many. So
no.
You might have the ability to throw out a big package and, you know, you might get a guy that doesn't want to be here but doesn't have a choice, which is kind of how it has to work.
Yeah, Robertson might be one of them, though. Like, Brian, to your point, I don't know if Robertson is like a, you know, I'm going to smash you through the boards type of guy.
But he's two-way.
He's 6'3" and an elite defender on top of his goal scoring. So kind of what you just said, like, again, even if he's not like super physical, like he certainly would fit, I think, your description of tougher to play against.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Robertson can get it done at both ends, so that would be something that I feel like would be of value to this team. Yeah, and you know, for Adams, because of the Sabres bringing in now an assistant GM, essentially. But I think it's very easy for Terry Pegula now, if he wants to make a move in season with Kevin Adams, to do so. I'm not saying I'm predicting it, but now if the Sabres get off to a poor start, like, the move is already done. Like, you don't have to go out and interview somebody. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about, do I have to go out and pay somebody else? Now, maybe you have to bump his salary up a little, but it's essentially the groundwork is there and all the legwork has been done. So if I'm Adams, like, I'm thinking every move I have to make now has to be about next season and winning, and maybe winning in the first 3 months. If the Sabres get off to a terrible start, the move could be there automatically that he doesn't see another trade deadline. So I'm expecting him, and we'd be very disappointed if not, that there isn't multiple moves made by the Sabres that ultimately affects their NHL roster immediately. Because if I'm Adams, I'm thinking I'm very fortunate here that I'm getting a sixth season, considering they've missed the playoffs all five under my tenure. And I've got to make sure that I don't get this off to a bad start, because basically my successor is already now sitting in the chair right next to me.
Brian Koziel. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much.
Brian Koziel, he hosts, co-hosts Tee to Green every weekend, and also, of course, our Sabres intermission and post-game reports, J.J. Paterka. Well, there's a lot more to get into this, and we will. The latest reporting from Elliot Friedman, we'll bring that to you on Paterka and how this all, you know, played out and how it might play out from here. Stanley Cup Final is Florida's to lose right now. They are up 3-2, mm-hmm. and after two incredible games, I feel like the series has had a couple of duds along the way. But whatever. Game 6 from Florida is on the way. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring, 803-0550 on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.